the name of the earth.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
All right, what's up, everybody? Jack Maloney back again. Friendly Bounce, Hardwood Proxies and Basketball Network, our WNBA podcast. These are some special shows. We're doing our playoff previews. Today we're going to talk about the 1 versus the 4 matchup in the East. The New York Liberty won the Eastern Conference, the 1 seed. They're taking on the Washington Mystics. Zach is here. Zachary Bennett, my guy, as always. And we're joined by a special guest today. Mr. David Wurzberger, a member of Hardwood Paroxysm. He's been covering the Liberty all season long. He's making his debut on the pod. Welcome to the show, Wurz.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Get to talk some WNBA basketball.
That's what we do on this podcast.
I thought it was fly fishing.
Oh, he's coming with the jokes.
A fly fishing podcast would be interesting. I can't imagine there's too many of them out there.
Fly fishing seems to be like, it would be like a subsection of a fishing podcast. But maybe there's enough in fly fishing in itself to have a complete podcast. I don't know.
You know, if we wanted a mix of basketball and a fishing podcast, we could get Jared Jeffries on board.
Could get Nikola Pekovic too, but only if it's ice fishing.
All right, so, Wurz, you've been watching the Liberty all year, which is why we brought you in here. They won the Eastern Conference. They finished with the best record in the league, 23-11. You've been in Madison Square Garden for a bunch of their games. Weirdly enough, we're not there the night I was in the building, but
That just sounds like a rough night for Jack, because he went there, he didn't see Wurz, he didn't see Elena Deladon. Just terrible.
I did see former guest of the show, Mr. Josh Davido, the good WNBA man, was in attendance. But Wurz...
Jack, wait, before you ask your question, I need to ask you one, and answer honestly. Were you more broken up about not seeing Elena Deladon or not seeing me?
Oh, I know what this is.
Wurz, I've met you before. I was more upset that Elena was not playing. me and Wurz hung out in Vegas a couple of years ago. You were out there. Obviously, it was disappointing that you weren't in the building, but I'll say equally. Is that better for you? Disappointed.
Seems like a cop-out, but I'll accept it.
Yeah, Jack's a liar, because we all know what the real answer is.
All right, so just give us a sort of general... Say that someone has never watched the New York Liberty play basketball before. What are they about?
What is life like on the beat?
Defense, rebounding, very bad boy Pistons, which makes sense because Bill Laimbeer is their head coach. It's defense and rebounding mostly. They stifle the hell out of teams. They run two traditional big lineups basically 99% of the time. So once you get in that paint, you're either met with Tina Charles, Carolyn Swords, who's like 6'5", I think. Kia Stokes, who's like running away with Rookie of the Year, blocking a few shots a game. And their guards are pretty good defensively, too. I mean, they have a lot of depth, too. They rebound the basketball. That defense to create fast breaks, transition buckets on the other end. That's basically the gist of it. You'll notice I didn't really compliment their offense. That's really their downside.
Yeah, so we on this show claim that we don't like to make NBA comparisons and then go ahead and do it like 4 or 5 times a night. But
that's fine.
It's easier to provide context that way.
We have likened them to the Grizzlies.
That could work. I see it.
If you don't think too much about it, probably works.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, they run the two bigs. They're a defensive minded team. That's basically the extent of our comparison. But yeah, so
yeah, I, mean, I dig the Epiphany Prince, Mike Conley, I guess, if those two are compared, you know, one-on-one, because she's a two-way threat.
Yeah.
She's been terrific.
She really has.
Like, once she came in, she struggled for a bit, but then, whew.
Right, so like Vertz was saying, defensively, the Liberty have the best defensive rating in the league. They give up only 92.25 points per 100 possessions.
They give up the fewest points in the paint by a wide,
yes,
by a wide margin.
Yep. They
by
have the best
by 6 points higher than the next, which is Minnesota.
And they have the best rebounding percentage in the league at 53.8. So yeah, Vertz is spot on with his watching the game. We bring the stats.
I don't use statistics like you nerds in your mom's basement. No, I watch the games.
Jack has given me the watch the games nerd on this podcast before. I like how Vertz and I, Vertz, this is your first year covering WNBA, correct?
Can I just out myself as someone who hasn't listened to this podcast yet? But I just
did a while ago,
but.
We didn't call you out for it, but I like how Vertz and I stumble onto the WNBA scene, and we're both just covering the best teams in our respective conferences or in our cities. Just we stumble on, and oh, here's the best team in the West. Here you go.
See you in the finals, Zach.
So, the Liberty are taking on the Washington Mystics, who almost collapsed. They really struggled towards the end of the season. At one point, it was between them and the Dream. The Dream were like 6 games back, and then all of a sudden, it was 3 back with 3 to go, including a possibly winner-take-all game on the last day of the season. But the Mystics ended up getting a win over the Fever to clinch their spot with a few games left. They finished in 4th place in the Eastern Conference. And they, you know, they were an interesting team that at times looked extremely dangerous, but like they went on that 4 or 5 game losing streak at the end of the season where, you know, is this even really a playoff team? And they, I don't think that this is going to be a long series.
I'd argue, I mean, the Mystics are 3-1 against the Liberty, for whatever you want to take that for. And when the Mystics basically just, the problem is the Liberty are so, the Liberty is so physical, and the Mystics have 2 bigs that are, well, just as physical, if not more at times. And they also, and they can also spread the floor, though, in Meisman and Dolson. So that's a scary combo that's like, killed Liberty in certain games this season. So I'm not sure I'm willing to call it a short series yet. I think it'll be interesting to watch, that's for sure. But
yeah, Washington is also a pretty good defensive team. They're 4th in defensive rating in the season. But like New York, struggle to score. They are led, like Vert said, Emma Meisman and Stephanie Dolson down low, and then Ivory Latta on the perimeter. Kara Lawson is their point guard, but she's been battling injuries, not been 100%. Latta has really been running the show on the perimeter, certainly later in the season. She's pretty dangerous, very shifty guard, can score like crazy.
Can I just make this pun real fast? Ivory gets a lot of buckets.
Hey-o! Yes, she does.
Is this where I drop my mic and just walk away from the podcast forever?
No, this is a good segue into talking about Ivory Latta, though. She took the most 3-point shots and made the most 3-point shots during the season, so you're not wrong.
Yeah.
No, she's a confirmed bucket getter. That's what she does. My crappy
comparison for her is Isaiah Thomas of the Boston Celtics. I think I've made that before.
I can definitely
see
that.
I think she leans more towards the shooter variety than IT. At least in my
yes.
Opinion. That's fair.
So I don't know.
It's weird that Washington, you know, as Bird said, they go 3-1 versus New York, and I think they only lost two, maybe three games to the Western Conference this season. It's like, who is beating them? I mean, in August, they lost their first three games, and then they won six in a row, and then they sort of fluctuated the rest of the way. But for a while, a couple weeks ago, Jack, I think that they were like my sleeper team to win the final.
Yeah, and that's what's so interesting about them is that at times I would agree with you. I just, this latest stretch going into the season does not have me confident in them at all. And I don't have this and this because, I mean, to be honest, I just don't know enough. That's not something that should be a shock. We admit that frequently on the podcast, but I just don't have a confident feeling about this bunch going into the playoffs. You know, I know they just beat the Liberty. They destroyed the Liberty.
That was a weird, I was there at that game. That was just strange. I mean, it really, I mean, you don't want to call it just a throwaway game. Like, yeah, we clinched the best record, whatever, but like, it looked that way at points. I don't know, my confidence with the Liberty, obviously, like, I'm not thinking of the Liberty and Washington at a similar scale, but as far as the Liberty competing, my confidence isn't sky high, simply because they play one side of the ball really well, but the other side gets really shaky at times at their offense. It can stagnate pretty badly. Whenever teams are more physical with them, they can flounder. Turnovers really hurt them, and because they're trying to turn it over and only giving up wide open layup after wide open layup, it just spirals. It gets bad for them at games.
Did that sound glitchy? Do you need to repeat that? Sort of weird, but as long as Jack heard it, I think it's okay.
No, it was a little glitchy there.
That's probably it's probably best it was glitchy. I said some really horrible things about Jack.
Oh man, what is interesting to me, and just because I'm a nerd in a basement who doesn't actually watch the games and I just read books and statistics all day, is it started. We can go back to before the season started when the Lynx scrimmage in Washington, and that analytics scrimmage where you got penalized for taking a mid-range shot and talking to. Lynx assistant coach Jim Peterson, he said that both the Lynx and Washington, the Mystics rather, both like to chase teams off the three-point line. And it shows in that Washington's opponents this year shot less three-pointers than any other team's opponents during the league. Whatever the shot distribution was, the lowest amount of three-pointers than any other team in the league. But then you look at the Liberty, is they attempted less threes than any other team in the league. So it's almost like that philosophy doesn't even affect New York at all.
Taken another way, it plays right into Washington's plan. I mean, Liberty don't really love threes. When they make threes, it's great, but it doesn't happen too often. They love to feed the post, feed Charles, hit Cutter's back door like crazy. Yeah, the three-point shot isn't really big. But what's funny with Laimbeer is, he accepts that this team doesn't have the sort of roster that you can just space the floor out and bomb threes away with. So he goes to this more traditional lineup that you would think, oh, he's not accepting analytics. But, like, when I spoke to him about his defense and stuff like that, he was citing things like rebounding rate and stuff like that. You know, when I couldn't find an advanced stat, he would correct my basic stat that I used as a proxy. He's like, well, you know, actually, I use this. So.
Yeah, and it's not. I mean, obviously, it's great if you can hit all sorts of three-pointers, but, I mean, if you don't have a team that has a lot of shooters, it doesn't make sense to just be like, well, analytics says three-pointers are the best, so we're just gonna fire him like crazy, even though none of our players can shoot well from outside. Like, you have to take analytics into account, but you also have to take into account the team you have, and you have Tina Charles, and you have Kia Stokes and Swin Cash. Like, you want to get the ball inside. That makes sense.
Two things. One, insert Byron Scott joke here. Two, I really, listen, watch out for Kia Stokes in the next few years, because in warm-ups, she will bomb away, and she's deadly. So when Coach Lambeer tells me, oh, you know, we went with two traditional bigs because we don't really have a good stretch four, Stokes is going to become that, and it's going to be very, very frightening.
Yeah,
Stokes owns the third highest individual defensive plus-minus rating, did you know?
No, I did not know that. But yeah, Stokes, I mean, before Griner had the 9 blocks the other day, Stokes had the most in one game this year, and she blocked 8 shots in one game. She's defensively is very impressive, especially, I mean, not even considering a rookie, like, regardless for anyone, she's impressive. And
with her, like, right now, her biggest deficiency is defensively, that, you know, she doesn't, she's more of a skinny, lengthy type, so she can get muscled down low, and that's one of the things that interests me about this matchup, because, again, Washington has two cruising bigs that'll just body you inside, and Stokes had trouble with that in previous matchups, and got to see how she'll adjust for this series.
I know at some point during August, I think it was late August, Emma Mieseman hurt her hand, and she was playing through that late in the season, so I wonder if her health will be a factor at all.
Yeah, I haven't heard. I know she was playing, late in August. Yeah. She was playing with that splint on her hand. I don't know if she's still using that or if it's been healed. I honestly haven't. I should have looked that up, obviously, but I didn't.
I have the Google News tabs open right now, but all it directs me to is the stuff that came out, because it happened against the Lynx in the second game of their home and away back-to-back, so it was...
Yeah, you know, and that's like... That's what we were talking about earlier with how they're so... such a bizarre team in that, you know, they went and beat the Lynx twice, like, on a home and home in the span of, like, 3 days. And, yeah, like, they destroyed them in Minnesota. That was not a close game. And then a few days later, they went and got beat by double digits by the Storm, who won, like, 7 games this year. And
it was their first loss to a Western Conference.
Yeah, and like they lost to the Dream, who are not, I mean, they have some talent, but they did not have a good season. Like, they got murdered by Phoenix. Their streakiness just does not give me any confidence that they can put it together, and obviously they can. Those stretches where they fall apart, things go really, really south for them. Like, they scored 59 points against Seattle and then 53 against Phoenix in consecutive games,
yeah,
just like a few days ago. And against a defense like New York's, they can make it a difficult series, and it will be a tricky series just because they're talented and they're physical defensively, but I just don't. I can't see them losing to New York.
Yeah, I can go back. Sorry, Zach. I would like safely pick New York as well. But if I can go back to the injury talk for a second, I feel like this is going to be one of those things we talk about maybe a couple weeks from now. But you know, when the Warriors won,
who says you're invited back on this podcast, Bert?
Or, well, you guys might be talking about it, but you know, when the Warriors won the championship this year, you know, everyone was talking about how, you know, they got lucky. They didn't really have to deal with many injuries. And the Liberty, I mean, outside of early this season and recent Brittany Floyd injury, they're healthy. You know, they're healthy. They're healthy coming in, and that'll probably be big if they can stay healthy through the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm going to say that New York is going to win in three games, but the deciding game they're going to win handedly. Jack alluded to Kara Lawson earlier, and I mean, she's a 12-year veteran, and something's obviously off because she's a 39% three-point shooter who's shooting 31% this season. And I mean, she shot over 40% three-point range in six seasons of her 13-year career. So something seems off. Jack said she could be battling injuries, and it sounds like it. And the same goes for...
Yeah, I believe it's a back thing.
Yeah, with backs, I mean, the dirty little secret with back injuries is you never know what the hell they are. And they affect, you know, they could affect everything around you because it's not just that you're back. But Ivory Latta is too streaky. I don't know if she can put up huge point totals in two games. I just don't think that they're middle of the road in almost every category. I don't think they have enough to win two games. But in a three-game series, you never know.
Right. That's what, I mean, that makes the WNBA playoffs so interesting, is that it's only three games, and you know, you win your game at home, and then all of a sudden it's only one more game, three game series. You only have to win one on the road to take it. It's possible. I just don't see it happening. You guys have any final thoughts on this series before we wrap things up?
I got New York in.
Yeah, I'll probably go New York in three as well. Trying to see if I can bring up something to watch for. And what one of the things this season has been, you know, the depth, and just any night someone will step up that, oh, they barely played recently, now they're playing, and now they're dropping 20. Like Sugar Rogers, Candace Wiggins will step up out of nowhere. And I asked Coach Lampier, you know, last home game, coming into the playoffs, you're going to look to shorten your rotation because it's the playoffs, or you've had some other success just finding these pieces on the bench to step up in random games, and are you going to try and, you know, go with the bench? He gave me the it depends on the matchup, so that's no real answer. But that'll be something I'll watch for, because, you know, if the Liberty are in a rut, you know, you could see them turn to someone like Sugar Rogers or Candace Wiggins or Erica Wheeler, who just came in. Like, you never know. I'm wondering if we're going to see a surprise playoff performance from someone. Yeah, Liberty in three. Zach, I'm looking forward to seeing you in the finals. I don't know if I'll take the trip up to Minnesota, but I'll holler at you from afar, I guess.
I've never been to New York or anywhere out east that isn't Florida or Columbus.
Bright lights dreams are made here. Come on.
Well, you gotta take the trip. That's why people
move to Los Angeles too. So I'm torn. Los Angeles isn't getting anywhere close to the finals this year.
Depending on how Jack feels, we don't know. God, Jack hates me when I do that. No, first I wanted to ask. First, you would get that inside joke if you listened. Podcast, by the way.
Zing! I fake laughed there. I don't know if you guys can tell.
No, you did. I want to ask you how covering Bill Lambier is, because that sounds like an intriguing experience. I know him and Cheryl Reap spent some time together in Detroit, so a lot of their, you know, fundamental principles are basically the same in the way they want to defend the paint, you know, be physical with opponents, but overall, how is covering Bill Lambier?
You know, I didn't talk to him very much this season because I was focused on road teams coming in and trying to do more general WNBA stuff and talk to the players. But in pressers, the guy forgets about his filter sometimes, and it's really fun. It's a good time. And, you know, he's fun to talk about basketball with, you know. Obviously, the knowledgeable guy has done a great job this year. But what's interesting is when we were mentioning Ivory Latta, she was one of, like, the more fun interviews I did this season. So if you want to talk about that for a second, Zach, do you have a favorite to talk to from the season?
No, I'm almost the opposite in that I spend a lot of the time talking to Reeve and less time talking to the players. As you mentioned, he talks, Lambeer, that is, talks, you know, he mentions metrics and things like that. I mean, there was a time this season where Reeve brought up usage percentage, and I was like, oh, hold the phone. it almost, you know, it was real early in the season. I was like, okay, this is pretty cool.
And she's not real.
She's pretty cool to talk basketball with, and like Bill Lambeer, she does not have a filter. I actually asked her about an incident that happened with a play when Phoenix was in town, and, you know, details aside, I asked her if the call that the officials made was common, and she was like, I don't think the refs really understand the rules, and she ended up getting fined for what she said in the press.
For your question?
Which were the answers to my question.
Zach, what was the fine? I think you owe her some money.
I don't know. They don't, they keep that information tight to the chest. I did try to get at WNBA PR to try to determine the amount of the fine, and then somebody actually in the New York, I think it was the New York Times, actually got the story first, and then I just said screw it. But yeah, she doesn't have a filter at all. I probably do owe her some money. Another cool thing, now that you mentioned it, was after shoot around or practices, I'm not supposed to say this, and I hope nobody from WNBA PR is listening, but the Lynx may or may not do a half court. They all line up for a half court shot after practices and shoot arounds, and the winner or the first person to make the half court shot, which is often Maya Moore, may or may not take home $100 each time.
There you go. You should try and get into one of those.
I probably would have until I tweeted that info and then got an email from Lynx PR that was like, WNBA doesn't allow them to gamble, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, okay, I'll delete that tweet. So I don't think they actually gamble, wink, wink, but there was consecutive days where Maya Moore was the first person to hit it on her first try, like 2 days in a row. I was like, oh, okay.
All right. Well, I think that's a good place to end. So, this was actually the Liberty Mystics preview podcast, even though we closed on a Lynx note, but thanks for joining us, Vertz, David Vertzberger. He's been following the Liberty in Madison Square Garden all season long for Hardwood Paroxysm. He'll be there for the playoffs. We might have to bring him back if he actually listens to this episode after it's recorded. All right.
I was going to say, it sounds like...
It'll be a couple of days later.
Go ahead.
A couple of days later, I'll have forgotten I did that.
It sounds like... I mean, Bert's admitted to it. He spent most of his time talking to visiting teams and things like that. It sounds like he's qualified to talk on other playoff previews. So,
oh, I'm not so sure about that.
I don't know, man. Sounds pretty well-versed to me.
Alright, well, there you have it. Liberty versus Mystics. We're all in agreement that the Liberty are going to take this series, but it should be pretty closely contested. Two good defensive teams. Game 1 Friday, Madison Square Garden, 7 Eastern on NBA TV. You should definitely check it out if you get that channel. Vertz, thanks for joining us. Zach, as always, here's our boy DJ Los Latino playing us out.
I claim this planet in the name of the Earth.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.